Hey, welcome everybody. Welcome everybody in the room here this morning. Hello, everybody in the room. Welcome everybody who's tuning in online. We're so glad you're here. We're glad you're plugging in. We are in the last week of our Made for More series. And I mentioned it last week, and I'm going to mention it again today. We have Strength Finder books that are available, that are here. We'll keep them here for a couple of more weeks, that so that if you've never taken a StrengthsFinder inventory, you can take it. You take one of those books at no charge. If you've never done that before, take one of those books, do the inventory, and then report your results. We'll start giving more instructions about the worksheet, where you'll have a whole ministry profile. When you report your results, we'll create an infographic that you'll get that'll have your personal wiring in terms of how God has wired you to give and receive love through the love languages, your conflict style, your strengths, your gifts. Have that all in one place so that you can see more clearly how you're part of God's masterpiece. If you're in the chat, you can see there's a link to where to report your results. Now, next Sunday is Easter, Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to be teaching next Sunday about evidence for the resurrection, about ways that scholars and historians, things they agree on that point to the reality of the resurrection. This would be a good Sunday to invite someone to sit with you in this space. We have more chairs that we can pull out if we need to. So, and this morning, we're going to take a moment and remember the price that God paid to bring us into a right relationship with him as we share the Lord's Supper together. We're just a few days away from Good Friday. And one of the ways that we remember Jesus shedding his blood on the cross in order to make a new covenant with us, thank you, is by giving our blood for others. So this coming Friday, we're having a blood drive right here in the chat. You can sign up to donate. There's a form where you can sign up. This morning, if you're participating with us online through the live stream, just run to your kitchen, grab a thing to eat and a thing to drink, something to share. What it is isn't as important as who you remember as you do it. And in this room, we've got a little bit of bread, and we've got a little bit of grape juice, and we invite people. If you're a disciple of Jesus, if you have said, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, born to a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for the sins of the world, and rose again on the third day, and I call him the Lord of my life. I am his disciple. I am his apprentice. I am learning to obey from him. Then this is a time for you to remember what it cost for him to bring you into right relationship with our Heavenly Father. And if that's not you, that's okay. There's no shame in just taking this time to reflect quietly. Nobody's going to condemn you for not taking the bread or drinking the cup. In fact, we don't want to turn anybody into a hypocrite who's just going through the motions. This is a time for people who have said, Jesus is the Lord of my life, and to remember that. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28, says, as they were eating, Jesus took some bread and blessed it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, take this and eat it, for this is my body. Together, let's thank God for giving us Jesus, the bread of life, as we take the bread together. And he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he gave it to them and said, "Each of you drink from it, for this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to make the sacrifice that was necessary for our sins to be forgiven once for all time. Let's take the cup together. And as we remember Jesus together, not just us in this room or on the live stream, along with churches from around central Wisconsin, from around the region, from around the world, we remember that we're united in him. This morning, we get to welcome Lynette Volkers. Lynette and her husband Mike have served as ministry team leaders in the past and have been New Day board members since 2017. If you think about what has happened between 2017 and now, they have helped lead this church through some really strange times. And so we're grateful for them. They're stepping back from that role this June and freeing them up to invest their talents in other ways. Let's welcome Lynette Volkers this morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's start with prayer. Oh, dear Jesus, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak this morning. And I just ask that you just speak through me, and these will be your words that will fall on our disciples' hearts, and that they will do what they need to do with them. Thank you for your presence this morning. Okay. All right. Fun fact about Lynette, I don't like microphones, so bear with me as I hold this and try and orchestrate what I want to share. So imagine, if you will, you wake and you find this beautifully wrapped gift, and it is addressed to you. Who could it be from? Well, James 1:17 tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So it's from our daddy. So you have this perfect gift, right? Who would not want to open it? Have you ever had a gift you didn't want to open? Not me. And gifts are not my love language. So let's open it up and see what's in it. It appears to be a very nice coffee cup or tea cup and platter. It's for my wedding china. So, how many of us have gifts like this that just sit there and are not used? Full transparency, this sits in one of our cabinets along with all some other parts until that special occasion comes, like Easter, that we get it out. Now, God has given us spiritual gifts. Throughout this series, Pastor Aaron has equipped us with the tools to discover what our gifts are and how to use them. Now, obviously, this is a coffee cup in saucer, but I want you to pretend that it is your spiritual gift. And if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, you can use mine. Faith is one of my strongest spiritual gifts. So if you don't know what yours is, pretend that it's mine. It's faith. So what do you suppose happens with this gift that God has given us? Let's see what the good word has to tell us as we revisit the parable of the talents. So this is Matthew, I'm reading from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. So, side note here. When I read this, it's going to reference silver or money. I'm going to suggest that it also represents your spiritual gifts. So feel free to interchange it with your spiritual gift whenever you hear me say silver or money. And feel free to use it as use mine, which is faith. So I would like to just have you sit back and listen to this little story. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money or gifts to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant of whom he entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's pretty harsh. Now, traditionally, the parable of talents has been seen as an exhortation to Jesus' disciples to use their God-given gifts in the service of God and to take risks for the sake of the kingdom of God. Every single one of us has been given a gift. a gift to use for the glory of God. I'm looking out at a room full of extremely talented and gifted brothers and sisters. Every single one of us has been given a gift for the expansion of God's kingdom. Now, we weren't born with this gift. It is in His grace God gave it to you when you became a believer. Now, this third servant, this dude who buried the gift, let's talk about him a little bit. Why do you suppose he didn't use his gift? Why did he bury it in the ground? More importantly, why are we not using our gifts? Allow me to get real for a moment. Verse 25 says, I was afraid. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Afraid he wouldn't live up to his master's expectations? He played it safe. He took no step of faith. Maybe the biggest reason why people do not use their talents or their gifts for the kingdom of God is fear. Side note, I believe the Bible tells us over 365 times to fear not. Or maybe we're not afraid and we tell ourselves, oh, I'm too old. I've already messed up my life. Well, I don't have time. Oh, God knows I need to pay the bills. Who would listen to me anyways? Oh, I'm just way too busy. Oh, this faith thing, it's way, way too hard. I don't even know where to start. Oh, and I have no support. I could go on with a litany of excuses. Oh, and by the way, all lies from Satan. If we wait until we're ready to start using the gift that God has given us, we're going to be waiting a lifetime. And when we don't use the gifts that God has given us, other people get cheated. 1 Peter 4:10 reminds us that we shouldn't keep our gifts to ourselves. We should use them to bless others around us. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others. And God expects us to use our gifts. He does not want me to use my gift of faith up in the cabinet or leaving it up in the cabinet. No. Now, I don't want to brag, but I feel like you use my gift of faith. I'm up here, right? Pastor Aaron asked me to speak. I didn't say no. Now, two of those servants knew that their master. It's easy to think, oh yeah, it's easy to say that. But I'd like to give you a couple of my own personal examples to see how I've seen this play out in my life. In my professional career, I've seen growth. Right now in my day job, I oversee all perinatal, obstetrical, and neonatal cases for Ascension, Wisconsin. So I oversee about 9 hospitals within the state. God had given me this opportunity to expand what I had been doing, and I'm the type of person to say, well, why not? Of course, if God's calling me to do something, I'm going to do it. About a month and a half ago, God expanded my territory to include the state of Oklahoma. Now, am I to say, oh, I had so much faith in Wisconsin, so He's given me Oklahoma. Why not? That's my faith. Okay, God told me to do this. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to accept it without qualms. My gifts. So in 2017, Pastor Aaron must have gave a series or talked on a series about spiritual gifts, and like a obedient disciple, I took the assessment. So back in, and I still have those results. Back in 2017, I had three out of, I don't know how many gifts there are, three of them tested high or assessed high. Three of them. I'm like, all right. They were exhortation, which is a fancy word for encouraging and building up others. Faith, which was my highest, which is really trusting God in all things and expecting God to move, and pastoring. So I went about my spiritual walk, you know, growing and becoming closer to Christ. Well, during this series, I retook that assessment. I had 9 spiritual gifts that tested high. God didn't double my gifts. He tripled them. And maybe we have not because we ask not. One of the gifts that tested high this time around was wisdom. So in preparation for my little chat today with you all, I did some reflection, which I highly recommend you incorporate into your spiritual walk. And the Lord reminded me about a year and a half ago, I had wanted to work on wisdom. I wanted to be wiser. The ladies in my small group and I studied Proverbs for a year and a half. You want a girl in wisdom? Study Proverbs for a year, right? So the Lord pointed out to me, you asked for something and I gave it to you. Our baby girl turns 17 tomorrow. And of course, as we celebrate birthdays in our family, she opined, we asked her what she wanted and she shared. And that's no different than us going to God and saying, you know what, I want this. He's going to give it to us. We need to do something with it. He's going to hold us accountable to those gifts. Now, whether it be our personalities, our intelligence, or our capabilities, our gifts come from His own bountiful hand. Please hear me. The church needs you. Please never, ever say, I'm not needed. I don't matter at New Day. You do. The body of Christ is at its best when you are at your best. When we bury our gifts, New Day limps around and is not as effective as what we could be. Could it be that we are struggling in America to grow the church because most of us use our giftedness when it's convenient for us or when it benefits us? Instead of using our giftedness selfishly when it benefits us, why not use it to benefit the kingdom? It's not about us. It really never has been. Now, 5 lessons that we've learned from this parable. God gifted and entrusted us with blessings. He expects us to use these gifts wisely. He doesn't judge us all by the same standard, thank goodness. And we're going to be held accountable. We are called to grow in the Lord and to expand His kingdom. I'm going to leave you with this challenge. Ask yourself this sobering and yet liberating question. What are you doing with your God-given gift? And if you don't think it's a big deal, if you're sitting back there thinking this doesn't apply to me, James 4:17 reminds us that it's a sin to know what we ought to do and not do it. Jesus is returning to judge what we have done with what He has given us. Our time is running out. And when I stand before our amazing Lord, I don't want to be asked, hey, remember that one time I asked you to do this and you didn't do it? Can you tell me why you didn't do it? I don't want to disappoint my daddy in heaven. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, thank you for all the gifts that you have given us. And thank you that we are going to be obedient with what you expect of us. Thank you, Lord, that you are moving in each and every single one of us. And as we get ready to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, Lord, let this week be a time of reflection and just praising you for the wonderful gift of giving your one and only Son for us. Amen.
Thank you so much, Lynette. Thank you, God, for your word. We're going to have some time now that we build in on Sunday morning. So whether you're in the live stream or you're listening to this after the fact and in a recording, or you're here in this room, we're going to give you the gift of a few minutes to reflect, to go to God and ask, what are you teaching me, God? And what do you want me to do about it? And what would be ideal is if you came out of that time, and maybe it's not going to be enough time, maybe you need to take more time to reflect and pray about this, in order to come out of your time with God with a statement that begins with the words, I will. What are you willing to do in response to what he's teaching you today? So let's take a few minutes and consider, what is an act of obedience to God that would come out of this teaching today? And after those few minutes, we'll come back together, we'll pray again, and then we'll go into a time of discussing what is God teaching you and learning from each other in that. So take these next few minutes to reflect. All right. For an example, as I took time to reflect, I thought something that would be good for me to do would be to take an inventory of fruit that I've seen come, that God produced in my life when I have invested my gift. What are some of the good things that have come from it? And just go back as far as I can, as far as I can remember in my journey of faith. And then who will I share it with? I think it'd be great to share it with some of the people who have invested in me and to say, hey, just so you know, here's some of what God has done. Thanks for your investment. Take some time now in conversation. So if you're participating in the live stream, we'd love to hear about a conversation that happens in the room that you're participating from, whether it's with your family or friends. What's God teaching you? What are you willing to do about it? And at tables here, around the tables, have that conversation. And we'll come together after the conversation and just share some highlights in this room of what God is doing in our midst. So let's pray and then go into that conversation and go into those acts of obedience. God, we thank you that you are a good father who gives good gifts. And I know that we have people who are here right now, who are listening, who are in our lives, who are going through difficult times and are struggling. And it's hard to imagine you giving good gifts when we can also see how much darkness and difficulty there is in the world. I pray that we would feel, that we would experience your presence in our lives today, that you would give us clues that show us how you're working, and that you'd bless this time of discussion where we learn from each other, sharpen each other, where we celebrate the good things that you're doing in our midst, and where we support each other in the challenges. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go into a time of discussion and reconnect next week for Resurrection Sunday, the celebration of Easter. We'll see you then.